Welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast. I'm Leslie.
And I'm Tessie.
And we are sisters-in-law. We started this podcast because we believe that it isn't necessarily the rich, powerful, or well-known who are making waves in this world. It's actually the moms. It's the women tending to their toddlers while launching international nonprofits from their living rooms or caring for babies and creating art. It's the women who believe in both their mother self and their other self and who are nourishing both as those around them stand back in admiration for the way they stride through life. We know this to be true. It's the hand that rocks the cradle that rules the world. So join the Mama Bear community where we support and encourage women doing big and bold things with their lives in addition to being great moms. And we dare you to harness the power of your Mama Bear to live a life of love and compassion.
Yes, and I always feel like there should be a little asterisk there that says, hey, we're talking about you. You guys, you listeners are all doing amazing things with your life. So I know you're saying negative things like, I'm not creating anything. And yes, you are. You absolutely are.
Yes,
so
you are.
Well done, Mama Bear.
Yes, you are. And if I might add another asterisk.
It's hard not to make it for
yourselves. If I may. It's also true that there is a mama bear inside of everybody. You don't have to have physically given birth. No one has to call you mom to be a mama bear.
It's true.
A mama bear. You're a mama bear. And you're a mama bear.
We really love channeling Oprah on the Mama Bear Dares podcast.
Right.
Who
yes.
is not a mom. She's a puppy mom, but she's not
she
a mom
is.
Just for the world to make note.
But she is a mother.
She is.
And she's got a mama bear inside of, I mean, clearly. Anyway.
So, first we want to thank Oprah. Second, we want to thank Audible. Audible, thank you. If you guys are listening to a podcast, then probably you like listening and receiving things through audio, right? So, Audible is offering you a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial if you go to www.audible.com/mamabeardares. Now, obviously, we don't recommend putting off Mama Bear Dare podcast time for this, but it is a good little buffer. I love listening to books on tape. Do you? I still call them books on tape.
Books on tape. I don't, but I hear great things.
Okay.
And I would encourage everyone else to get that. One thing I do is shop on Amazon, and Amazon is also a sponsor of ours. If you go to the Amazon banner ad on our website and you click there, you can do your regular shopping like normal, but then it is in support of the Mama Bear Dares podcast if you do your shopping using that link. So we appreciate any support you might be able to give us in that way.
Yeah. Leslie, today we talked to Angie Sands. It's pretty clear in the conversation that I was so excited to be talking to her. I've mentioned before in this podcast that my morning meditation has become increasingly important to me. And Angie goes right for it by talking about kind of telling yourself a story. She shares that she'd made up a narrative that she needed to shed and found meditation helped her to see which parts of that narrative she had made up and which part was actually true. I have so found that that is true for me in my own life as well. Because before I started meditation, I had a really hard time letting go of my past mistakes. I'd kind of convinced myself that I was those mistakes. It's that shame that we talked about in previous episodes, right? But meditation helped me to understand that, yes, I had absolutely made mistakes and I needed to, you know, make up for them in whatever way possible. But, and, you know, I would certainly make some in the future, right? Because I'm human. But that I was just a spirit on this human journey and that I was more than my mistakes.
Yes, 100%. Yes. So Angie Sands is a meditation coach, mm-hmm. and she will do consultations with her clients. She will teach people how to meditate. She teaches corporate groups, church groups, and families. I first met Angie because I was writing an article for Radish magazine about meditation, and she actually spent an afternoon with my family, children included, leading us through one of her meditation workshops. So she is a woman with so much to offer, and we're really excited to introduce her to all of you. So it sounds kind of, you know, meditation can be something that adults are sometimes leery of, like we're just not sure if it's for us or not. But, you know, I just said Angie teaches kids to meditate as well. And I think that's amazing. It can be so great for kids.
Yeah. And she has, I mean, there's science to back that up, right? And just a quick note, we will make a link in the show notes if you're interested. Angie can do a Skype teaching with you and your family, and we just highly recommend it because I cannot say enough good things about her. Mm-hmm. This was the first time I met her this day when we interviewed her, and so I didn't even have the history that the two of you share, but I just was blown away by how wonderful she was, really. But yeah, back to kids. You know, I've told you before that, and I mentioned it in the podcast, that I actually got into meditation or really started kind of studying it when we were looking at adopting older kids because, I mean, it's been proven that a lot of older kids in adoption have, you know, dealt with some trauma, babies as well. I don't want to neglect that. But any child who have experienced trauma, meditation can do beautiful things with their brains. It can really kind of heal, in some cases, the places that have been damaged by trauma. I have found that not just with the boys we've adopted, but with all five of my children, teaching them to take deep breaths and meditate, if they are really at a heightened kind of sense, has made huge impacts on the way they move about the world and about, you know, the stories they have kind of told themselves too. It's just a really, really big deal. And I loved that Angie's kind of goal for the world really is to have mm-hmm. meditation become standard in schools. Mm-hmm. I know that it would make a huge difference, not just for the kids, but for the teachers too, who are juggling mm-hmm. crazy amounts of kids in each class, you know, budget cuts, all of that. It would be greatly affected by a meditation practice.
Yeah. That just sounds so dreamy, and you'll hear more of that in the podcast of why, you know, and the science to back that up. I connect with Angie in her really curious spirit. Like, I love how she describes herself as a curious girl, and I think I share this sort of sense of curiosity with Angie, and I love, you know, over the years after I've gotten to know her, I've loved seeing her kind of chase all of these passions and interests. However, she also talks about being able to narrow down her curiosity in order to know what to chase or what to follow. And I just can learn a lot from that. I need to understand, as many of us do, that time is finite. So right. Even if you're really, really curious about something, if you're like, you know, jazzed to kind of figure something out, you can't chase everything. Mm-hmm. And I feel in my life, I am a passionate person. If I see something, I want to know everything about it, or I want to, you know, get good at it or whatever it yeah. is. And so I can relate to Angie in that way, but I can also learn from her in the way she teaches focus and priority. Yeah. And she does this through a meditation practice. And I just really like how this can actually help you live with more integrity, both for ourselves and for those people around us. If we're constantly saying yes to things and we're constantly, you know, running all over the place, chasing all of these interests, we run the risk of falling short because mm-hmm. you can't do everything right. and letting yourself down or letting other people down. So I think meditation is a way to help us identify and understand as eternally curious beings what is actually important to us, who we are at our core, mm-hmm. what's going to nourish that, and then let go of what isn't true for us.
Yeah.
And actually, we joke in the podcast because Angie taught my family how to meditate. It's been 3 years ago. And she asked me if I still meditated, if I still kept my practice. And I haven't.
I know. I was going to bring it up and just celebrate your honesty there.
Yeah.
Because I was so impressed.
However, since we recorded this podcast, I got really re-energized and like,
nice.
You know what? My meditation practice was a really good thing. I recognize that right now I'm doing a lot of things and I'm chasing a lot of interests and I need to center myself. So talking with her made me pick up a meditation practice again. And
Yay!
It's not, thank you. It's not the one that she taught me. She is a mantra-based meditation coach. And it's kind of, it's the seed method is what she teaches. It's also what like David Lynch does. Basically, it's the transcendental meditation. You meditate twice a day for 20 minutes. I feel that's out of my scope right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I ended up doing was downloading an app called Headspace.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Headspace?
That's what we use.
Really? Yeah. Okay, I didn't know that. So I love it. Jake actually recommended it because mm-hmm. he does an actual meditation process and was very excited to hear that I was re-interested. So I can't recommend Headspace enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I've almost done with a free trial, which is 10-minute guided meditations.
Yes.
So it's just 10 minutes of my day, but I can honestly say that it has made a tremendous difference already.
That's
in
so
my life.
Great. We bought the package. So you get 10 days of a free trial. That's the 10 minute kind of. So you get a glimpse of what it's going to be like. I had a meditation practice before Headspace, but Zach didn't. And we heard about this app through the Rich Roll podcast. Because he interviewed the creator of the app and he was just phenomenal. So Zach actually got into meditation through this app. So we did go on to kind of buy the, you know, unlock all of the meditation.
Right. Yeah.
And it's worth it. I'm just going to encourage you and our listeners to do it. If they don't get in touch with Angie, this might be a good place to start. And then if you want to take it further, get in touch with Angie. But I mean, there are threads you can do if you're struggling with self-esteem. He kind of helps you learn how to affect your self-esteem through meditation. It can, I mean, he even teaches you how to really meditate through running and all of these really great avenues. So do it. I mean, it's totally worth the money.
Well, and what I kind of like about this also is that our kids will see, they have seen us meditate before.
Exactly.
You know, they often witness this in our home. But what I like about this is that it's audible. So
yeah.
I've been listening on my phone, you know, and the kids haven't been around yet while I'm doing it because I'm doing it before they wake up in the morning. But I like the idea of including an afternoon practice with
yes.
the guided meditation. So they might not be sitting still and
right.
listening, but I think it'd still be great for them to hear these messages of just like, oh, okay, you know,
yeah,
as part
I
of
agree.
Their background noise.
That's one of my favorite parts is that every morning Tristan and Tomas wake up a little earlier than the rest to shower and whatnot. And when they walk up the stairs, both their parents are meditating. And while they're getting ready for their day and having breakfast, the two of us are on our couch with our headphones on meditating. And so I think you're right. If I'm telling them to meditate, if I'm telling them to take a few deep breaths, or if I'm telling them to just decompress and become an observer and not a judger, I really need to be showing them kind of how it's done in my life as well. And then they're more apt to do it in theirs.
Yeah. So obviously, Tessie, this is something that we have an interest in.
Yes.
We have experience in. And so I think we should bring it up more just in the podcast. I have no idea, you know, what our listeners, what their experience has been. Meditation is getting to be more common. We're hearing more about it. But I'm anxious to hear, you know, listener feedback and just to continue the conversation because, you know, it's changed my life a couple times now, I think.
It's hit this like zeitgeist moment, right? It's big. Everybody's talking about it. Science has backed it now, but you're going to have to do it. You can't just talk about
it.
So yes, do it a few times. Do the 10-day free trial on Headspace, and then let us know how you're doing. Join our community online and let us know.
So right after Angie taught our family how to meditate, it was during the middle of the summer. And I remember Jake and I would just, like, we're really serious about the practice for months, and we would look around and just be like, oh, have the clouds always been so beautiful? Like, aren't the clouds just beautiful? And so we're like, is it because we're meditating? So I thought a fun little segment here on the Mama Bear Tears podcast could be something called Maybe It's Meditation.
I love that, but let's say it like, for whatever reason, when you said that, it reminded me of the Maybelline commercials. So it's like, maybe it's meditation.
Maybe it's meditation, or maybe it's Maybelline. I'm not sure. Maybe it's meditation. So anyway, let's do it. What are the clouds?
Are the clouds are really definitely more brilliant when you've meditated.
Okay. You referenced on an earlier podcast being able to let go of mommy guilt, and I know your theory.
Yes, it's meditation. It's meditation.
Why do you think it's meditation? Let's unpack that.
Because I remember feeling the overall consuming nature of mommy guilt before I became really invested in my meditation practice. I totally agree that it's probably also partly I got older. I started really nurturing my other self too. So I'm sure there are some variables, but a big one is meditation. Guaranteed.
Well, I think Angie talks a lot about meditation as being able to be a practice in letting go. So
yeah.
I don't doubt you.
Leslie, I have one for you.
Okay.
Being able to eventually say the word poop. Meditation?
I'm not there yet. I don't know. I don't think it's a meditation thing.
Okay.
How about being able to drink less wine?
I don't know. Is it a meditation?
I think it is. I think it is. For me, I drink less wine at night because I know I'm going to get up early and meditate in the morning.
You're right.
That's good.
Yeah.
How about sleeping better?
That is 100%. Zach can attest to that. Are you noticing you're able to sleep better?
I can always sleep. There is nothing.
You and I are the same way.
That makes me not able to sleep. So how about, I've noticed better concentration. Like when I'm focusing on something, is this meditation or I don't know.
It is. Have you also noticed when I'm doing a good job of meditating, I don't drink as much coffee. I can have my one cup and then I'm not searching for that other cup. I think because I still feel like tractor beam focus.
Disagree. Disagree 100%.
100%.
If meditation ever tries to steal my coffee, I'm done. I'm done with it.
That's totally understandable.
But I kind of understand what you're saying. What about seasonal allergy relief? Because, man, I am struggling with these allergies.
I mean, I don't want to bring it up again, but we did do an episode on this.
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried the neti pot?
No. No.
Have you tried anything I mentioned?
I am not currently consuming dairy. What else did you mention? I don't remember. What about more patience in line?
I think that really depends on the line.
That could be. I was really patient yesterday in line at the grocery store. Sintai was with me, and it was really busy, and there was a big line, but like it was good. And yeah. There have definitely been moments where I would, you know, was pulling my hair out because of a line, but I handled it okay. I wonder if it's meditation.
I don't know. I kind of think that might be partly the Sintayu effect too.
She's super cute. That is a child that, like, she might secretly meditate because she's just one of those people that she's just okay with every moment. Like, it's, she is true. In the moment, and she is, it's glorious.
Mama Bears, just so you know, Sintayu calls my husband Zach her best friend. Mm-hmm. She only calls him best friend. Hey, best friend. And then, of course, he calls her best friend. But so maybe she's just channeling her best friend, and she is. Maybe they're meditating together in the morning via Skype. I don't know. The moral of the story, Leslie, is that I think we can attribute all of those to meditation. And in 20 days, I'm going to see if you'll say the word poop, and then it'll be 100% meditation.
Get back to me on that. I feel like we need to cut this out of the podcast. I can't condone it. It's too beautiful. We're talking about beauty and meditation, and you can't soil it with such talk. So
I just did.
Let's get into this podcast.
Let's do it.
Welcome to another episode of the Mama Bear Dares podcast. We are excited today to be talking with Angie Sands, who is many things, but one of the wonderful things she does is that she owns the business Cloud9 Meditation and is a meditation coach. She has been hugely influential in the life of my family. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to interview Angie about what she does, and she actually spent an entire afternoon with my husband, myself, and our two of our children, and she taught a family meditation course. And that afternoon was just wonderful in so many ways. And again, it happened years ago, but we're still reaping the benefits. So it truly was life-changing when Angie entered our lives. So welcome to the podcast. We're so happy that you're here.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. And are you still meditating?
Jenkins!
I do remember you saying that if you intend to meditate, then it counts. No, I'm kidding. I don't have a great meditation practice. I do try to meditate. I don't have the twice daily 20-minute practice going. Jake does. My husband does. And honestly, like, the kids will still sit and meditate sometimes, which is just amazing. And they'll talk about that.
Well, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but it's just funny because it totally doesn't matter if you are or you're not, as far as I'm concerned, but when I see students in public, sometimes they hide from me.
Yes!
Like, oh my God, there she is. She's going to ask me, and I'm going to have to either tell her the truth or lie or something. It's totally cool. The great thing about meditation and the technique I teach is that you can always just pick it right up again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's just get warmed up here, Angie. Tell us what it's like to walk in this world in your shoes, kind of in your body, in your neighborhood, in your skin. What is that experience like?
Do you mean as a meditator?
Just as a woman.
As a woman. Okay. Well, I've got a lot of creative energy, and I'm always thinking of the next thing I want to do and be. I get bored kind of easily. For me, walking through the world is a matter of just getting inspired a lot. Mm-hmm. And then what am I going to do with that? So my biggest challenge is trying to figure out what is worth my time and energy and what's not. So I can get kind of distracted, off course, waste a lot of time on things that aren't really important to me. And so that's kind of my the way I'm wired, and I think why meditation has been so helpful for me is that it really helps me to focus on what's important and lets me let go of things a lot easier when I realize that they're really not for me, even though they might seem really fascinating or intriguing or sexy or whatever. I'm able to just sort of see it, appreciate it, and let it go or move on.
Yeah. That kind of leads us to our question about how you got started with meditation. But I also want to make a note for the listeners that often the people who need meditation the most, people like us who walk through the world like, oh, squirrel, 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 are the ones who say like, no, I can never meditate, right? So I'm really interested in how you got started meditation so that our listeners like that could resonate, can kind of get an in on that too.
Well, my story was my meditation story started as kind of a downer. Literally, I was really down. I reached a point in my life where my life stopped working, or I stopped working, just not able to. I probably was just very depressed and really didn't have a reason that I was depressed, but knew I didn't want to start on traditional therapy, medicine, for example, or therapy for that matter. I really am a sort of a DIYer, do-it-yourselfer. However, I was just in such a bad place that I couldn't even get the thought processes ramped up to what do I need? What do I need? What do I need to do? Where do I need to go? How can I get help? But I guess it was just an act of grace that I sort of heard a whisper and felt an urge to learn to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what started me on the path. And it was very surprising, and I sort of resisted it right at first. In fact, I resisted it pretty strongly. My first reaction was, heck no, that's not for me. That's not what I do. That's not in my world. I had a lot of misconceptions about what meditation was. But I'm a very curious girl, so if something catches my curiosity, even if I'm a little bit turned off at first, I will investigate. And so I investigated, and immediately everything I found, thank God for Google, was amazing. And it just sort of reinforced the urge that I had. It made me feel more comfortable. One thing led to another. I found a teacher. I learned the practice, and that was about 5 years ago, and absolutely nothing has been the same since.
So what was going on 5 years ago that you were needing it so badly?
I don't really know that I can say for sure, other than just some personal stories that I had sort of gotten myself caught in, mm-hmm. caught in these stories about who I was, who I wasn't, what I wanted, what I thought I needed. You know, relationships are always a challenge. So it was just life. It was just regular mm-hmm. life. And I tend to internalize things rather than share my feelings with people. So I think that just that sort of holding on to all of these little things just ended up becoming a really big thing mm-hmm. that just stopped me in mm-hmm. my tracks.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe talk about some of the benefits of meditation, what you saw when you did it, and then what other people have told you about.
Well, gosh, there's so many benefits, and you can come at this from three directions. There's the benefits to the mind, there's the benefits to the body, and there are the benefits to your spirit. So it truly is wholly beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that is so intriguing about meditation right now in the world is that there's so much science behind what is happening to our brains and our physiology when we meditate. So that appeals to people because it's just, it relies on science and it draws mm-hmm. on science. And that's mm-hmm. actually what drew me into it was, oh my gosh, there's like scientific evidence for this. It's not just new age wishful thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's not woo-woo.
Mm-hmm.
It really is grounded in science. And there's decades of research now that prove, you know, that beneficial changes do happen to the brain. Mm-hmm. And what's going on in the brain is that we are, in the simplest terms, we are growing the helpful parts of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So the frontal cortex of our brain that makes us have compassion and, mm-hmm. you know, our language center and our ability to connect and to feel things and to say things. And that part of our brain is really what makes us human. the older parts of our brain, the back lower parts of our brain, are sort of the fear center of our brain. They call that the reptilian brain. Mm-hmm. And this is sort of a primal aspect of our brain. And those parts of the brain actually reduce in size. So the brain is not cast in stone. It is a malleable organ. It can change. And so that's a very fascinating thing to think about, is if what you do every day is having an effect on your brain, good or bad. So meditation is something you can do every day that actually helps your brain develop new neural pathways, helps your brain grow gray matter in the parts of the brain that you want to be more active, and shrinks the parts that you just, you know, that aren't that helpful anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the reasons I first learned about meditation outside of the yoga context, you know, outside of the, like, kind of Shavasana last 10 minutes of your yoga practice or something like that, was because we've adopted. And trauma and loss can greatly affect the brain in really staggering ways. So I kind of became just enthralled with brain research when I was thinking about adopting older kids. And they were talking about how meditation has been proven to kind of heal the parts of the brain that have been almost deadened by trauma. And I thought, that what a crazy thing that just a few minutes every day, because it doesn't need to be, there's no right or wrong way to meditate, right? In terms of, like, actually having an effect on your brain, but that you can heal by just taking a few minutes. But I also thought of the fact that a lot of older people think that, like, that it is cast in stone. So maybe just talk about how there are no age limits to reaping the benefits of meditation.
Yeah, that's a really, really interesting and fascinating point. Kids can meditate. I've taught Leslie's kids to meditate. The methods are a little bit different, but everyone can do it and literally enjoy the benefits almost immediately. So one of the things that I like for kids is that it helps them know how to observe their own self in a way that helps them to have the ability to make better choices. So let's say they're on the playground and there's a lot of intensity or conflict. Learning, just doing the practice of meditation, trains them to be more of an observer of what's happening so that they can decide, okay, this is how I want to react to this or respond to this, rather than just being triggered all the time and making bad decisions. So likewise, for us older folks, we have lived a whole life making certain decisions certain ways, and so these habits are literally ingrained in our brain. These neural pathways I talked about, is they're like the habits that we do every day, or it's a little bit like a groove in a record. Mm. And when we meditate, we can retrain our brain to do something different. And so it's really beneficial for people that have, you know, always done the same thing the same way. It gives them a little more flexibility in their the way their mind is working, to maybe step back and take a moment and think about what's really happening here, and give a little more thought to something before they actually decide what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also for older folks who are, you know, aging in the normal course of life, anything we can do to nourish the brain activity is always going to be good. And there's so many studies that show it does help with memory. Yeah. It does help with all sorts of things that are happening. And that's the great thing about it, is you can literally hop online and Google and find a study, a really credible
reputable study, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That shows that it really does make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like meditation is getting this kind of surge in our country's culture. You read about celebrities and professional athletes and, you know, CEOs of major corporations. People are getting into it more and more. So why do you think it's becoming kind of less taboo?
Well, I think that there's just better information, and it's kind of outlived its previous life cycle, which was in the 60s when the Beatles kind of brought it to the United States. Mm-hmm. In a way, or to the awareness of the United States. And so it sort of had a bad rap that it was some sort of hippy-dippy, trippy mm-hmm. thing. Although there's many, many, many meditators from that you know, era who are still enjoying the practices mm-hmm. and are benefiting from the practices. But today with the research and the way they've sort of repackaged, people have repackaged it mm-hmm. and just to say, hey, it's not just something hippies do. It's not something, you know, New Agers do. Pastors do it. Moms do it. Dads do it. Kids do it. Teachers do it. Celebrities do it. Athletes do it. Okay, there must be something going on.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. people won't waste their time because mm-hmm. we're all so busy. But, yeah, I think it's just a matter of sharing better information with people mm-hmm. that it's nothing to be there's nothing really weird about it. It's actually a really natural mm-hmm. phenomenon, and it really just is a tool. Mm-hmm. It's really nothing more than a brain training. So it can fit into all these things that we already do, and it doesn't have to come with this idea that you have to sit in cross-leg pose
yes.
or wear funny clothes or right. be a vegetarian or even do yoga for that matter.
Right.
You know, you can be anyone with any belief system, and meditation works just as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I think that's interesting, and that's something that you definitely taught myself and my family, that you don't have to, like, light the incense and you don't have to find a pillow on the floor. You can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love incense, you know.
And I love a pillow on the
you
floor.
Love a pillow on the floor. So, yeah, you certainly can. But you don't have to. I remember you telling me that, you know, you might be sitting in your car and able to meditate. You know, it doesn't
yeah.
require all of these sort of trappings. Like, anyone can do it.
Absolutely.
Tell me about kind of your dream of more kids, more children meditate, like even in schools.
Well, when I was doing the research, I had two thoughts that came to my mind when it was dawning on me, okay, what meditation is and how great it is. One is that I wanted to share it with the school system because I really feel strongly that schools, you know, are so overwhelmed with their jobs, the jobs that they're already given to do. I don't think there's a lot of programs in place that just help kids figure out how to calm themselves down,
yeah.
how to get in control of their own self. And that is so valuable. If we have kids that are in control, have self-control and self-awareness, and also more compassion for others, I just think a lot of our challenges that we see between kids today would vanish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just my wishful thinking. It actually is shown to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are schools in bigger metropolitan areas that do adopt meditation programs, and the results are just unbelievably amazing.
Mm-hmm. We set the tone for so much of what the kids do. And I know I love the idea of it starting with the kids, but then if they go right back in and the teacher's at this high, you know, kind of negative
mm-hmm.
value, then the kids will hop right back
mm-hmm.
to it too.
Mm-hmm.
So, gosh, I love the idea of an entire school system taking that on,
absolutely.
Kids and teachers, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I have kids who, one is out of high school and one is getting ready to enter high school. And it is surprising to me how much I can see the quality of the teacher affecting my,
mm-hmm.
you know, my amazing kids who are amazing students.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not so easy for me to just say, well, they're having a bad day, or just focus on yourself, or just do your own work and don't worry about the teacher. Yeah, the quality, that's absolutely a really great point. And that's one of the things I do tell moms and dads when they want their kids to meditate, is it really helps if you meditate too.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids are going to see you doing
mm-hmm.
it, and boy, that's going to have a huge impact.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a study or something, and help me out with this a little bit, but is it true, or can you talk about just the tangible energy that is released into the world from a person who is meditating or a group
mm-hmm.
that is meditating?
I can try to talk about that. I don't have the research or the data, but it absolutely is true that when groups of people meditate, that the surrounding area will experience less crime. There have been studies done on that as well. From my own direct experience, I can tell you that in my little world, the calmer and the more at peace I am, the people around me seem to soak that up and notice it. And I think that's really, really funny because, you know, as just me being me, I don't always know what I'm emitting, what energy I'm emitting, mm-hmm. or how I'm having an impact on people. So I get that comment a lot is, you're so calm. You know, you just have this, you ooze this peace. Mm-hmm. And that's fantastic. I mean, that's just all that is evidence of my meditation practice working. Mm-hmm. I take no credit for it whatsoever. But that's what people are wanting. You know, they want a little more peace and calm. And it really is so simple and so complex at the same time. Because what meditation does, it really it's working at your nervous system. It's working on your nervous system. And that's really the nuts and bolts of what meditation is. It's taking this wonderful nervous system that we have that is electrifying all of our, you know, workings, our inner workings. And we're so, it's so highly tuned and it's so highly strung for a lot of us that we just think that's normal. And that's really not normal at all. So meditation is sort of getting us into what really the default mode that it wants to be in, which is just calm and peaceful and relaxed so that our bodies can do all the wonderful, magical things it was designed to do. So that peace and calm is really what people feel. And we are all made up of energy. I mean, we're energetic people, beings, and spiritual beings. And we share, when we're sitting in the room together, we share each other's energy. And that's why sometimes you can get a weird vibe from someone or a place where there's lots of people, you just don't feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. So we do share each other's energy and we transmit energy. So the more that we are, that our energy is clean and calm and pure, the more we can have an impact on other people.
Mm-hmm. I think there are people on the coasts that agree, but sometimes when I talk about energy and like, oh, that person just had kind of a different energy that didn't resonate with my energy. People in the Midwest, Michigan, Iowa, it doesn't matter. Their eyes start to cross and are just like, what's this lady talking about? Right. So I'm so curious how you took your meditation practice and thought, I live in Iowa, but I think this is going to be a successful business as well. Can you speak on that?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I was totally the same way when I started on this path. I had a lot of misconceptions. And, you know, I'm not a woo-woo type of person. And when I talk about energy, I don't come at it from anything other than sort of an instinctual sense. I don't study energy. I don't get into that, but I know a lot of people do. For me, that's one of the reasons I wanted to teach is because I know that it really just boils down to something that's simple and that's easy and that's natural. And it doesn't matter that if you believe that we're made up of energy or not. It doesn't matter what your belief system is. It still just works. So I wanted to bring meditation to my community in that way, just a really neutral, honest, simple way. And it doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to, you can make it as weird as you want to. I like to, you know, if you're into the incense and that's cool. If you want to light the candles and chant, that's cool. I love chanting. I love all that stuff. I think it's amazing. But my meditation practice is pretty mundane. I get up and I sit, you know, with my back against my headboard in the morning with my pajamas still on and my bad breath and I get it done. Move on and get through my day. So, yeah, I think people in the Midwest, they care about their health and they care about living a wholesome and living a really great life. And that's, you know, meditation is, in my opinion, the foundation to living a really great life. I don't meditate for the wonderful experience of meditation. Sometimes it is really, really juicy, really yummy, really deep, really calm, really peaceful, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's really boring. Sometimes I'm kind of fidgety. Sometimes I just want to be done with it.
Yeah.
But that's not why I do the practice. I do the practice because my life, I can see my life is better now than it was 3 months ago or than it was a year ago. And that's what I tell my students, too. If you don't meditate for the wonderful experience of meditation, you meditate because you have the desire to have a better health, better life, better relationships, whatever that is for you.
I think that's one of the hardest things for people to hook into, though. When I'm teaching my yoga class, they'll stay for the 55 minutes of the physical act of yoga, and then they'll leave for the 10 minutes of meditation. Because, and often when I ask, it's just like, well, I don't have time to do that. And I tell them, well, that's actually when you're making the most improvements, you know, and not just, like you said, for your mental health, but for your physical health. That's when your body is really able to receive the work that you just did, right? Is when you're relaxed and you're able to kind of welcome all of that. How do you combat the intimidation? I feel like right when I say, all right, it's time for meditation, that's okay, see ya. You know, so how do you combat the intimidation over the unknown or over the word in that way?
Yeah, I think the word itself has some connotations, mm-hmm. For whatever reason. And I guess I don't know if it would be helpful to just not use the word, but just maybe say it's time to turn inward, or mm-hmm. it's time to connect with the wisdom we have inside of us, or mm-hmm. intuition. Because really it is just, it's so opposite of everything we do. Even yoga, I mean, most people do yoga for the physical aspect, right. Even though it's so much more than that.
Right.
But everything we do is sort of externally driven. We're mm-hmm. doing this so we get that.
Right.
And meditation is the exact opposite. So it's a paradigm shift. We're mm-hmm. doing something internally because that's where everything we need already is.
Right.
That's where everything we need already is. So it's a mindset where we're stopping this idea that I'll be happy when I get, you know, 60 minutes of exercise a day, and I'll be happy when I get the different job, and I'll be happy when I get the different boyfriend or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this idea that I need to grab something out there and bring it inside of me to feel better. The idea that we need to share with people is that everything you already need, that you need, your fulfillment, your happiness, your peace, your wisdom is already inside of you. And we just need to tap into that. Mm. We need to soak in that, and we need to access it, which is what meditation helps us do, mm-hmm. is it turns our awareness inward.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh my gosh, when we do that, then everything that's external changes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we haven't done anything but shift our awareness inside of ourselves. So I think reframing that in any way you can, and just helping people understand that in the simplest way. It's kind of a hard thing to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just summing it up with that term meditation, people, they come with their own ideas of what it is and what it isn't, the baggage, and that mm-hmm. the resistance shows up, and they're going to have, the mind's going to start working, the mm-hmm. mind's going to get in the way and take them out of it completely. So yeah, anything we can do to just help them understand that the awareness, the external awareness that we're always in the habit of having is so powerful, just to shift it inward.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything out here will shift mm-hmm. automatically.
Yeah.
So in some ways, that's a matter of semantics. And we talk about meditation. Mm-hmm. We also hear a lot about mindfulness. That's mm-hmm. definitely a very buzzy word these days. And that's something that I understand in my life to be, you know, mindful eating, like really watching your hand, you know, hold the fork and take the bite and taste each bite, or like there's a mindfulness in each step that you might take around the block, or if you're doing dishes, you know, really just focus in on doing those dishes. So that's my interpretation of what mindfulness is. But can you talk about the difference between meditation and mindfulness? Because I think they're both terms that we're hearing more and more of.
Yeah, mindfulness is totally a buzzword right now. It's everywhere. I think it depends on who you ask what the answer will be, but my feeling on it is that mindfulness is something that you can do moment to moment. It's mindfulness is simply defined as paying attention to what you're doing while you're doing it without judgment. So you're not telling yourself a story or making things up about what's happening. You're simply just paying attention to it. You're becoming the witness, the observer. And you're not attached to it. You're just simply observing it moment by moment by moment. And you're right. We can do that with absolutely anything we do. Walking out to your car, driving your car, talking to your children, making dinner, washing your hands. It can be anything. You can do anything mindfully. And there's a lot of power in that. And there are physiological benefits to the practice of mindfulness. Meditation, in my mind, is a more of a formal practice that you do away from the daily activities of life. So my meditation practice is 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the afternoon. And then throughout the day, I will try to be mindful as I walk through the world.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, one's a little more in the active state of life, and mm-hmm. one's a little more in the sort of the quiet state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know there are a lot of different kinds of meditation. What's your specific kind of meditation?
I teach a practice called the SEED method. That's S-E-E-D. It stands for Simple, Easy, Everyday. I learned to teach this practice through Sarah McLean, and she is a veteran in the world of holistic practices and wellness. She was actually with Deepak Chopra as he started his center in the United States way back when it first came to the United States. She learned his primordial sound meditation method, mm-hmm. which is based on a mantra. So she takes that practice, a mantra-based practice, plus takes the best from her experiences that she's had in ashrams and monasteries and Buddhist traditions, Indian traditions, Vedic traditions. And she came up with sort of a three-step method where we start with mindfulness and sort of deep breathing. We go into a self-inquiry practice, which is asking ourselves, our wise self, some questions, just to start generating some of that getting in touch with some of that inner wisdom. And then the rest of the practice is a mantra-based practice. And the mantra-based practice is really the bulk of the practice, and it's super, super important. The mantras we use really have no meaning, but we use them for the sound quality. So the mind is very... It gives the mind something to do while you're sitting there trying to quiet the mind, which is a misconception of meditation. Mm-hmm. It's really not about quieting the mind, although you'll see that everywhere. And that's probably, in my opinion, one of the reasons why people who have tried to meditate on their own stop, because they have this idea that, well, I can't quiet my mind. I'm sitting in meditation and I'm thinking, so I must be doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. Well, really, that's not possible mm-hmm. to stop thinking by thinking about it. You have to have a mantra or some other focus for your mind to pay attention to. So the practice I teach is a mantra-based practice, the bulk of it. And it really does supercharge. I see it as a meditation practice on steroids. The use of that mantra really does get to the root of our stress and our nervous system. We get deeply, deeply rested physiologically. Our bodies, they rest 5 times deeper than we are when we're sleeping. I don't know how they measured that, but somebody did somewhere. So getting to that deeply rooted stress is really the crux of the matter. And the benefits in our life really start to manifest when we're starting to uproot that, not just the stress of the day, but the stress from, you know, our entire lifetime that we've carried around mm-hmm. with us.
I obviously believe wholeheartedly in the practice of meditation. I also do it about 30 minutes in the morning and then try to do an afternoon one as well. But I often wonder if there isn't some privilege in carving out time for it. I think of some of the moms of my kids' friends, and they're working multiple jobs and waking up early and coming home late to provide for their families. I honestly can't imagine telling them when they tell me they're stressed to carve out time for meditation, even though, as I said, I believe and I know for certain that it would help them. So how would you counsel someone in that situation?
I hear that a lot. Mm-hmm. I've taught... corporate groups to meditate, and they are all over me on this one. Mm-hmm. How do you expect me to do this? I have to get up at 4:30 in the morning to get my workout in, and then I have to do this and that and that and the other thing. And the thing that I would say to you is that you're probably not going to believe me when I tell you this, but it's true that when you meditate every day, you actually have more time. Mm-hmm. You end up having more time in the day to do the things that really matter to you. I think it was George Stephanopoulos who had that same quote. He's like, I can't believe I have more time during my day, and I'm adding this thing in where I didn't have it before. And the Dalai Lama has another quote that says, it was Gandhi. He said, when I have twice as much to do, I meditate twice as long. Mm. Because it's something happens to us when we get, when we access our inner wisdom and our nervous system is calm, then we can actually make better choices. So we're spending less time doing things that don't matter, and we're spending more time doing things that do matter. So we're more efficiently using the days, the minutes and the hours that we're given every day. And that is, that's really truly what happens when we're frazzled and when we're stressed, especially, you know, as a mother, just we feel like we're running around like a crazy woman. And this is what my direct experience was after becoming a meditator. The things that were really not serving me anymore, that I was spending a lot of time even just thinking about or worrying about, much less doing, just fell away. I didn't need to do them anymore. And it wasn't that I made the choice. It was just that I let it go. Mm-hmm. And I didn't hold on. There's a lot of things I was holding on to that were slowing me down, you know, making me not efficient during my day. So that is something that people just have to do it and see it for themselves. Yeah. Take my word for it.
Yeah.
Or don't. And then just learn the practice and realize it for yourself that it truly does make more time and space in your day.
Yeah. We recorded a podcast about mommy guilt. And when I was listening back to it, I had said, I just don't, this is not something I struggle with on the day-to-day basis. And then I asked my husband, like, did I come off as just a jerk, kind of, because I don't struggle with that? And then I kind of had this little internal reflection, and I think it's because of my meditation practice, because I think I let so much go after I started really making a point to meditate every day, because I realized that's not serving me. So what you're saying, I can attest to as well, that, and it's the same thing we talked about, like, I can look at Pinterest and watch a mom crafting, and I can celebrate her and not feel a moment of guilt, because in my meditation practice, I realized I am not a crafting mom, and that's okay, you know, and I can celebrate them, but that's not something I need to carve out time for, because it's not my thing, right? And so what I hear you saying is, like, it does give you that perspective of, oh, when I was carving out 30 minutes of this, that just was not good. That did not make me happy, did not make my kids happy, was no act of service, like, scrap it, you know? So it does make more time in your day.
And the other thing that I have found to be true is that it helps you just live with more integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we feel a lot of pressure to be the kind of woman, the kind of mother that we see around us, especially Pinterest is horrible for that. Right. I mean, I love it, but, yeah, there's just so many things that I don't do. And
yeah.
Just living with integrity does free up a lot of your time.
Yeah.
Because you can just say, hey, that's great, but that's not for me.
Right,
that's
and not, mental and right. spiritual health.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So just really practically speaking here, how can someone get started with a meditation practice if they don't have, you know, like the resource of a meditation center or a meditation coach, or if they don't live near you? What can we do?
Well, I really do recommend finding a teacher. In my experience, and I think for a lot of people I've talked about, I get a lot of students to my courses who have sort of tried to do it through a book or online, and they just haven't felt like they've been successful. And meditation, learning to meditate is like learning to play the piano. You know, you really just need someone to show you the right way to do it. And that's just what's going to work best for most people. There are a lot of teachers in the area, in any given area, I think. And if you're in an area that doesn't have a teacher, there are people that will coach you over Skype. So I would find somebody to do that. And I would say that it investment-wise, I can't think of a better investment. One of the things I wanted to do when I brought meditation to my community was make it really affordable. And I've done that. But when I first learned to meditate, I learned, I paid a lot of money to do it because that was just the tradition that I was learning. And I can honestly say I would have gladly paid 10 times that just because of what I've gotten out of it. And the thing about learning this and paying a teacher to teach you is that once you learn it, it's your skill for the rest of your life. So you're not paying somebody a monthly membership fee. I mean, more than likely, you're not. It's not like a gym membership or where you need a teacher every step of the way. You need a teacher to learn, and then sort of you're on your own. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think a teacher is really going to be worth the time and money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On our podcast, we talk a lot about the mother self and the other self. And it's been incredible because the last probably six people we talked to, when we asked, what do you do for your, like the other self? What do you do to nurture that's just for you to make you a better human, a better mom? Everyone's like, nothing. I do absolutely nothing. Because, you know, especially if you have little kids, because there's something about the mother self that tends to just take over your entire life, right? Mm-hmm. And we forget that there's this other self in there. For me, part of a big part of how I nurture my other self is meditation. Mm-hmm. But because that's also your job, do you mm-hmm. see meditation as nurturing that other self? Do you see it as work? How does that work? How does that balance?
Yeah. Well, meditation for me has just become part of my daily routine, like brushing my teeth, for mm-hmm. example. It's just a non-negotiable part of my day. Yeah, I do it for me, and I think my kids are pretty happy that I meditate. I think I'm a better mom. I'm an easier person to be around. I'm happier, and I definitely, meditation is something I do for both self, for all selves. but something I do just for me, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, is that anything I do for me, I do for others. So if I take care of myself or do something that is meaningful to me, it's automatically going to benefit the people mm-hmm. around me. So I have no guilt about taking time to, like this summer, I spent a week in Iowa City at a poetry writing workshop.
Nice.
Because I started this thing that meditation does for me, is it opens up new levels of awareness about what talents I have and what I'm good at or what I'm curious about. So I mentioned I'm a little bit of a curious girl, and I really got bit by the poetry bug.
Awesome. So you would have loved, or you will love, our poetry
buddy. Yeah.
So that's something I did. I spent a week away from the family, mm-hmm. and I nurtured that, and that was wonderful. Some things stick and some things don't. So mm-hmm. I just, whatever I find to be, I'm curious about, I will sort of kind of go down that path and see what happens. I'm really open to that. And I like my kids seeing me do that. Mm-hmm. I really think that, I don't think we're serving our children when we're constantly just at their beck and call or trying to entertain them or trying to constantly, you know, be involved in everything they do. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm kind of a free range mom, I guess, as much as I can be. I like to see my kids successful in and of their own right and discovering the world.
And I know your daughter, and she's turning out pretty great. Like,
She's amazing. But I love my kids. I love being with my kids. And but yeah, I definitely find it important for them to see me being happy and doing things that nurture me.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
So if you will join us for the last part of our podcast, we like to call this the Obsess Sesh. if there's three things that you're obsessed with right now.
I think right now I'm obsessed with superfoods.
Yes! Let's discuss!
How much time
do you have?
Superfoods, yes. I have a bowl of tiger nuts. Okay, I'm sort of in that whole world of what does it mean and how can I make stuff with it? Mm-hmm. And I love to eat. I'm always obsessed with food, so I want to eat, and I want to not be guilty, feel guilty about it. And I want to get away from all the sugar and mm-hmm. the refined carbs mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah. So I'm super obsessed with that. I'm moving out of my house into a smaller house, mm-hmm. and so I'm obsessed with getting rid of almost everything that I have.
Love it.
A, I don't want to move it, and B, I have nowhere to put it. So
I know.
I'm really worried about my shoes. what I'm going to do with those, because I'm pretty obsessed with my shoes. So that might have to be something that I just let go of.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or let go of letting go of them.
Yeah. I think number three, what am I obsessed with? This is going to sound kind of weird, but I'm obsessed with connecting with people in really deep, meaningful ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of a introvert, so I spend a lot of time alone. I love being alone. I have no problem with that, but I've been sort of obsessed with getting to know people on a really deep, intimate mm-hmm. level. So, connection.
Awesome.
I love that. Quick, funny story. So, you are our fifth podcast we're taping in this day alone, and I am more of your kind of typical extrovert, and Leslie is more introverted. And so after our third conversation, we had a little bit of a break, and Leslie went right to the couch and laid down and like put a blanket over her head and just didn't talk for a while. And I was dancing and let's call Jimmy John and Snapchatting.
And I'm like, oh my god, I don't have words.
She asked how I had words beneath the blanket. So I love hearing that, because I love that there can be two sides to that, because we are also obsessed with connection, which is what made us start this podcast. We're obsessed with hearing other people and having these kind of deep dive conversations that we know are happening throughout the world, but for whatever reason, moms get these bad raps or feel like they only have to talk about their kids as baseball stats,
mm-hmm.
you know? And we're like, we're not interested in that. I mean, good for you, good for your kid, but like, what makes you tick? What makes this other self come alive? Like, what can we learn from you?
Mm-hmm.
And we know there, every woman has a story that we can learn from. And so that's why we started the podcast. And that's why you're an awesome guest. And we just, yes. So thank you so much for being on the podcast. Obviously, I was excited about this one and can't wait for our Mama Bears to hear it as well.
Yeah. All right, Mama Bears. Today, we dare you to commit to a meditation practice. Now, don't get scared or intimidated. We aren't necessarily asking you for 20 minutes. We're literally asking you for 2 minutes. Today, set your timer for 2 minutes. Find somewhere quiet and just breathe. For 2 minutes, turn off the music, turn off the TV, turn off the podcast, and lock yourself in the bathroom if you have to. In the moment, just let you be you and see what happens. Or maybe commit to more mindfulness throughout your day. It could be as simple as being aware when you stand up or when you take a step, or the way food smells or feels or tastes with each bite that you take. We live so much of our life without even thinking about it. So today we dare you to become an active participant in the cathedral of your daily life. You will reap more benefits than you can even imagine. And honestly, Mama Bears, you are worth it.
Yeah, so Mama Bears, thank you for your kind words on social media. Remember to rate and review us on iTunes. I'm just going to read one real quick that I just loved it. It is from someone named Sil Taliano. I maybe added an Italian accent to that. That's not necessary, but I'm going with it.
It's always funny what iTunes makes you come up with, like a weird identifier.
It's true, so, but I salute you, whoever you are. What a refreshing podcast. Tessie, they wrote Test, but I'm going with Tessie. And Leslie are authentic women who don't sugarcoat life. They have a knack of drawing out the uniqueness of each of their guests in a way that inspires me as a listener to be more of myself. Listening to this podcast makes me feel like I'm sitting in the same room with these women. Good times. I love
that's
that they
so
are inspired to be more of themselves. Thank you.
Yes.
I hope that others are as well.
Yeah, and we want to invite you to come sit in the room with us.
Yeah,
right? Like,
absolutely.
That's fun.
Yes. So not only do those make our day when they come in, the reviews, but they really help us know we're on the right track. We can be honest because we don't sugarcoat anything.
Mm-hmm.
We received a review that gave us constructive feedback that we had put too much music in one of the podcasts, and we agreed with them. So guess what?
Mm-hmm.
We changed it. It really does help us stay on the right track with this podcast. So if you would do us a huge favor, go review us now.
that would be so helpful. Thank you in advance. In the meantime, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Join our conversations. We would love to hear from you. Tell us about your meditation practice. Is this something that you desire in your life? Is it something that you've already tried and seen results from? We would love to know. And write to us about your besties. We know you have women in your life that inspire you with how they move through their everyday lives, and we want to know them. We want to ask them the questions that we ask of our guests. So email us at mamabeardares@gmail.com and you can connect us, because we know there are so many more people with so many great stories, and we want to tell them all.
Yeah.
Have a great week, Mama Bears.
See you on Wednesday. Smell you later.
Jeez. The quality of this podcast is going down. Yikes. No.